And you know what I felt good about? I didn't walk away from Tampa Bay against Washington.
The Commanders.
Blaming Todd Bowles. I didn't. I blame Baker Mayfield. Yeah. I blame the two kind of miscommunications, the two fumbles, really. One non-fumble that was a loss on third and short that led them to have to kick a field goal.
Right.
And then I blame the fumble.
That was the two monstrous
plays.
That was on the center. And I would say the other fumble that led to the touchdown was on Liam Cohen. It was just a stupid play call.
Was it the play call?
Yes. Why are you running reverse on the 15-yard line?
Mm.
Like, seriously. Just run. Go forward. We all do the same thing when you're backed up. Go forward. Don't try to get, I don't know, cute.
The worst was on the previous, not fumble, but miscue. They have second and inches, mm-hmm. and they can't convert.
All right.
Oh, my God. And then on third down, they lose the 2 yards, which has them settle for a field goal. And it just gave Jaden Daniels another opportunity.
You don't put anything on Todd Bowles last night?
I don't put the majority of it on Todd. What do you put on Todd Bowles? Clock management?
I think, yeah, that mainly. Look, Baker, I think, can have that fumble. And I'm with Tiki on Liam Cohen. It was as if Todd Bowles forgot he had 3 timeouts as Washington is marching down the field around the 2-minute warning, which mm-hmm. cannot happen. And number two, and this is something that some coaches get and some coaches don't. You have a hot quarterback on the other side. You didn't touch the ball again. And you went for the tie with 6 minutes left, and your quarterback never saw the ball
again. So you should have gone for it even after the 2-yard loss?
But this goes back. Todd Bowles has lost games like this before. I think it's about knowing your opponent.
And see, look, I put it on the execution. Those two plays in particular, killed them.
Yeah.
First of all, if they don't lose 2 yards on third down, they're going for it on fourth and inch.
Here's why I am forced to agree with Sean, even though...
You're forced to.
Only because...
It's like you don't want to.
Well, I don't want to because I think sometimes... playing smart is better,
mm-hmm.
but knowing who your opponent is. There was a stat this morning in our clip. I still get the clips from the league, and one of them, I couldn't believe it. Jaden Daniels has had multiple 0 turnover, 0 punt games, including last night.
Mm.
He's done it 3 times this season.
Yep,
which is more than Brady, Mahomes, like Josh, like all the top quarterbacks combined in their careers.
That's crazy.
It's insane. And so if you're Todd Bowles, if there's one thing that sticks out, because you go back to the Giants game that they won on field goals, right, early in the season, there are games where the Washington Commanders are not going to punt the football. They are just so good because their quarterback is mobile. He can create with his legs. He's obviously very accurate. He's very smart with the football. You have to force him to not be on the field or force the ball away from him because he's not punting it to you. They didn't punt in the game.
Mm.
So if you're at that point in the game and you're like, dude, if we don't, we're not going to get the ball back.
So you would have gone for it.
100%.
Interesting.
It's under 4 minutes. Or at the 4 minute mark.
It was actually 41. 6. It was right at 6.
Right, but it came back and they got the ball. They held the ball for the last 4:41 or something like that, right?
That was after the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the last one.
Gotcha.
So at the end of the day, you got to realize who you're playing. And I don't think he took that into account. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's who the Commanders have been all season long.
Look at you guys, all tougher on Todd Bowles than I am. Because, I feel good.
No, but this is the second time. Remember, Todd Bowles did this. Was it the Chief game this year where he didn't go for two?
But,
he let themselves bleed dry in overtime. I just think sometimes and good for him, he's stuck in his ways, but you have to understand who you're playing.
And it didn't come back to bite him because they scored a touchdown, but before the halftime, the clock management was horrible. They had like 2 timeouts and they let the clock just bleed out.
I think there were multiple examples of this weekend.
I was talking about the 4th and 3.
Gotcha.
Right. Not the one before. The 4th and 3 when they were on the 14-yard line.
When they kicked the field goal.
They kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
And I get it. You got to try to tie the game, but you're likely not getting the ball back.
The execution on second.
And if you do fail, they have to go the whole length of the field and you have timeouts.
Well, and that's what Washington did when they went for it on 4th and goal from the 4-yard line, failed, and then they forced the turnover.
Right. And
got the ball back, great field position, boom, Jaden Daniels does his thing.
I think coaches get stuck in their way. They don't understand in these playoff games, especially when you're playing hotter quarterbacks or hotter teams, you have to think unconventionally at times. And I thought there were other moments this weekend. Sean Payton tried with the fake punt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Drive
went nowhere, but at least he gave it an effort. And I thought on Saturday night, I think it's 14-0 at the time. It's 4th and inches. It's like get their own 40.
The Tomlin punt?
And Tomlin punts.
That was brutal.
You know, like, at some point, get out of your own way and understand you got to try to do something unconventional in this game, in a playoff game, or you're going to get your doors blown off.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Josh is in Smithtown. How are you, Josh?
Hey, before I get to my football stuff, just really quick, I had a friend on Friday text me, and they were texting the group chat about Mikal Bridges having a bad game, and it's like, whenever he has a bad game, he shows up, and it just made me think of you.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you know the answer to this, Josh. I've been trying to figure it out all weekend. Maybe you could help. Has a guy ever been traded for 5 first round picks and held scoreless in a game?
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
And, you know, just really quickly, I know nobody cares about the Nets, but I did think Sean Marks' comments over the weekend, they don't get a lot of attention because it was the Nets, but about basically embracing the tank.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be applied to really any sport. I thought that was pretty interesting, the things that he had to say.
Now, we were talking about it in our Evan and Tiki text chat because it was alarming or interesting or great that someone was as honest about tanking as Sean Marks was over the weekend. And then last night, they put together one of the greatest tank-off games in the history of hoop between them and the Utah Jazz, in which they kept taking turns out-tanking each other, including the decisions before the game on who should play and not play.
The Nets still in the league.
Anyhow, what's your football point?
I mean, you guys were just touching upon it, and Tommy, you know, just said it really. But, like, even before the half, Mike Evans ended up scoring a touchdown, but the clock is going, and you're hearing, like, Mike Tirico, and, you know, Sean can see it, Tom can see it, you can see it. How can all of us see that, you know, here's where timeout needs to be called, but on the field, these coaches consistently seem to miss it at the end of the half or end of the game? Like, I just don't understand. I'm wondering what you think, Tinky.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they get caught in the moment. And so every time we talk to these coaches, we ask them, who's their guy in the booth? And it's really the game management coach. And I think in those moments, what he just asked about, there's too much noise happening, right? There needs to be like a kill button from that whoever their guy is, their clock management guy, so that it kills everything else that they're hearing, and it's only him talking to them because there's too much noise, and so you ignore it. I'm sure they're told these things, but there's other things going on that they're trying to pay attention to, and so they end up not taking the advice that they hire someone specifically to give them that advice for. And so, to me, it's just a protocol. Like an execution of this valuable resource that all of these coaches have, but sometimes don't use.
Kyle is in Eatontown, New Jersey. How are we doing today, Kyle?
Not well. Another frustrating loss for the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tiki, I love your takes, man. I wanted to get your opinion on where this franchise is at. Are you a fan of Jordan Love? Do you feel like this $220 million deal was worth it?
No, it probably wasn't yet. But you know how it is with quarterbacks. You have to pay these guys, right? It sucked for the Packers because he sat for so many years. And then Aaron Rodgers leaves. He gets his chance. He looks good. So you pay him. But did he really become that much better of a player when you paid him? Now they have the team around him. That's what's troubling about the Jalen Hurts situation. There's so much talent. Like last year, all their wide receivers were in their first and second year, including their tight ends. But he hasn't taken the step forward, right, that you would expect. Why? Because he's still only like 26 years old. So I think there's still growth that needs to happen with him, but he's paid, and the expectation is that he's on the level with Pat Mahomes.
Here's what's crazy.
And he's not.
And I can't wait until 2036 when I can share this view, share this belief, share this passion. Jordan Love took over a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And the Green Bay Packers have responded with a 9-win year. Okay, mm-hmm. Not the greatest, but made the playoffs and upset the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody's happy.
My bad. He's 26 years old.
26. This year, they go out and win 11 games in maybe one of the greatest divisions we've seen in a long time. And yeah, they lost to an Eagle team that, quite frankly, is just better.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the Packers were ravaged by injuries, especially by the end of that game.
And he was hurt.
And he was hurt with the shoulder issue. So you're 2 years into the Jordan Love era. You've made the playoffs both seasons,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You've gotten better, because I would say this regular season was better than last.
Right.
And we're talking about, what do we do? Is he the guy?
Well, the problem is he's paid to be the guy. It's no different than, what's his name down in Jacksonville?
Trevor Lawrence.
He's same as Trevor Lawrence. Is Trevor Lawrence worth $55 million a year? Like, is his production worth 55? Not even close, right? Is Jordan Love's worth 58 or whatever the heck he's making a year? I mean, you could argue it, but probably not. And so once the guy gets paid, you expect him to be the best of the best.
But what's not fair to Jordan Love that I think is very different than Trevor Lawrence and very different than most of these quarterbacks is he got paid after such little success because he sat for a while.
Okay.
So he was only a one-year starter before he got paid.
I hear you, but he still got paid.
I got you.
And so,
would you want to move on from Jordan Love?
Of course not.
It's crazy.
There's still so much more that he's going to grow and become, but you just said it. He got paid after one great year. And so, it's not fair, but it's the reality of it. When someone's paid very highly, you expect them to be really good. And when they're not, especially in, forget the regular season. If you're paid, you better be good in the regular season, right? If you suck after you're paid in the regular season, then what the hell are we doing?
You know, after
you get paid for what you do when it matters most and more, which is in the postseason. And he was not good yesterday.